Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, A Foundation to Build On. We're looking at the foundation of your Christian life, at how you can lay a firm foundation so that you can build your life on that firm foundation, on those firm pillars. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a starting point for this series of studies, so you might want to take a moment, get your Bibles, and turn to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. And as you do that, I'll remind you that the end of our broadcast today will give you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. If you have any questions or comments about what you've heard, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. If you just write and request them, we'll be glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. Right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul talks to us in this passage about laying a foundation, talks about the fact that we are building our Christian life, building our service for the Lord on the foundation that he laid, which is Christ. And as we begin building on that foundation of Paul, we need to be sure that we lay our own good foundation of understanding. And we've been, for the past 2 weeks, looking at the foundation that we lay. And for the four stones, the four pillars of that foundation that allow us to build a life that is pleasing to the Lord. The first week, we talked about a book you can trust. And in this series of studies, and we've talked about these issues before on the program, but in this series of studies, we're focusing on the last word in each of these foundations, in each of these pillars. We usually focus on the beginning, a book, a gospel study, and a life. We're going to focus on the last word. That is, we're going to focus on what it means to have a book you can trust, on what it means to have a gospel you can believe, on what it means to have study you can understand, and on what it means to live that life that you've received at salvation. We, as I said, talked about a book you can trust, and focusing on the issue of trust and having a book that you can trust, we saw that it's necessary, in order to have a book that you can trust, it's necessary to have a book of divine origin, a book that comes from outside of you and outside of any human being, because you certainly can't trust other human beings to always tell you the truth, but you can't even really trust yourself to tell yourself the truth, because your own emotions and your own thoughts and your own prejudices can cause you to lie to yourself, in a sense. That is, you know that many times in your life what your emotions have told you ended up being the wrong thing to do. Well, if you want a book then that truly you can trust, you need to find a book from outside of yourself. And we've seen that the book you need is a book of divine origin, a book, the Bible, that is the Word of God, not the Word of men, but the Word of God. And that book is the Bible. We know that for us here at Grace Alive, that is the Word of God preserved for English-speaking people in the King James Bible. But before you even get to deciding which Bible is the truth and which Bible is the best, which Bible is the most faithful and accurate to God's Word, you have to just step back a step and say, am I willing to find a book that every time that book speaks, it's right, every time I disagree with it, I'm wrong, and I will never seek to change that book to match me? I will always seek to change me to match that book. And that's a big decision to make. It really is. That's a big step to take, to say, I am going to seek to find a book, and not just seek to, I am going to have a book. I'm going to have an outside objective standard of truth that I will never seek to change, but that I will always allow to change me. That's the first step. That's the first foundation stone that you lay. The second, a gospel you can believe. And again, the focus on that last word, on believing. The Bible basically sets forth two possible ways to eternal life. Romans chapter 2 tells us, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, you get eternal life. You've earned eternal life if by patient continuance and well-doing you seek for glory, honor, and immortality. The Bible also says there is a way to eternal life by faith. To him that worketh not but believeth, his faith is counted for righteousness. So you can work and be righteous in your efforts, in your works, or you can receive righteousness as a gift by faith. That's your choice. The thing about that is that in between those two options in Romans 2 and Romans 4, in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So although the Bible says you can work and earn it, or you can receive it by faith, the Bible gives you a little clue as to what you should choose. Because the Bible says there is none that doeth good, so you know up front going into the game that your good efforts will not measure up, will not cut it. And since that's the case, what you need is a gospel you can believe. You don't need a gospel that requires you to work. You don't need a gospel that says if you by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, you'll receive eternal life. You need a gospel that just allows you to believe. Because number one, the Bible tells you that there is none good. The Bible tells you up front you will not be able to, by patient continuance and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality. Even if you don't believe that verse and you think you could, you're not sure of it. You're not sure that you're going to be able to do that. You might fail somewhere along the line. You need to have a firm foundation. You need a gospel you can believe. One that doesn't require effort, one that doesn't require work, one that doesn't require you to do anything, but one that simply is based on faith. A gospel you can believe. That will lay that second stone, that second pillar of your foundation. A book you can trust, a book outside of yourself, that is always right, that is your objective standard of truth. And secondly, a gospel that only requires belief. You can build on that because it's not dependent upon your efforts, which may be good some days and not so good other days, and ultimately will fail. It's built on belief. Third, and this is the one we'll talk about today, study you can understand. You need to, and again, focusing on the last word in each of these, study you can understand. It's important that we be able to understand. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, let's turn over there. 2 Timothy 2, 15 tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we focus on that verse a lot when we talk about study you can understand. It is the only verse in your English Bible that actually tells you to study it. So if you're going to talk about study you can understand, 2 Timothy 2:15 is a logical verse to go to. But we want to step back a little bit in this series of studies. Just as we step back and we talked about a book you can trust, we weren't talking so much about which Bible as just you have to settle in your mind that there is a book somewhere that is going to be an objective standard of truth for me. Just like in a gospel you can believe, we weren't dealing so much with all the detail of what is the gospel. We did talk about what you believe. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day. But we want to step back a little bit even before you get to that point and say, well, what are my options? What other kind of gospel could there be than one that I would just believe? The same is true with study you can understand. We want to step back a little bit and not look so much at the detail of what does it mean to rightly divide the word of truth and how does that help us to understand the Bible, but just step back and say, I can understand God. How can I understand? How can a finite mind like mine understand an infinite God? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. And let's look at what the Bible has to say about the importance of understanding. And the importance once you've identified this book that you trust, the importance of not just reading it casually, but the importance of studying to gain understanding. See, you can read something casually. This morning you may have gotten up and read the newspaper, and you know, whatever part you go to first, whether you go to the obituaries first to see if anyone you know has passed away, whether you go to the sports section first or the world news to see what's going on in the world. Wherever it is, you go, you read that, you scan it through, you go about your day. And probably if I were to ask you now, what was the, you know, list the four most important points in the first story you read in the paper this morning, you wouldn't be able to do it. Because you didn't really study it, you just read over it. You took the information in, you thought, well, that's good, that's bad, that's this, that's that, but you didn't study it. So you don't gain real understanding. This book we can trust needs to be understood. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer, so he openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now I want to go back up in that passage, verse 30. The question Philip asks the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading in the prophet Isaiah, and Philip says, Understandest thou what thou readest? You see, it's good that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the Bible, reading the prophet Isaiah. But Philip gets to the real part of it. Do you understand what you're reading? You know, many people practice daily Bible reading. They just, you know, read a chapter a day or a few chapters a day or whatever. And that's certainly a good thing to do. You should by all means do that. But there is also a level of study that goes beyond just daily reading of the Bible. And that is understanding. Understandest thou what thou readest? And then Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip took those verses on the page and he taught him the verses so that he would understand. So the Bible that he was reading became a source of understanding for him. Look to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, this is Christ speaking to his apostles, he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Then opened he their understanding. He read the scriptures, and they had read the scriptures before. But he now explains the scriptures so that they understand. And when it says that, I don't think it's that there's not some supernatural light goes on. It's just that he opens around. See this verse? You see this verse? You see this verse? You see how those verses go together? Philip took the Ethiopian eunuch and said, you see this prophecy? You see what Christ did? You see how what Christ did matches that prophecy? That prophecy is about Christ. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 is, or at least should be, the foundation stone for every preacher, for every teacher of the word. Nehemiah chapter 8 defines what preaching is. Nehemiah 8:8, and they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. That is, they didn't just merely skim over it. They didn't speed read through it. They read distinctly. Every word. When you read something distinctly, you know, it's like I mentioned reading the morning paper. We don't necessarily read the morning paper distinctly. You just kind of scan through those articles. If it's something you're very interested in, though, you might slow down and read it more distinctly because you want to get every word. If you're reading the instructions on how to put together some new item that you just purchased, now those you've got to read distinctly because they're not always very clear. You need to understand every word and read it distinctly. So to read distinctly is to focus on every word, to get every word, to get it all down, not just skim through it. Number two, they gave the sense. Now, giving the sense, we would call that looking at the verse in context. In other words, no verse in the Bible means anything outside of the context in which it's found. You know the old story about, you know, someone said, well, Lord, I want you to tell me what to do. So they flipped open the Bible and they put their hand on a verse and it said, Judas went and hung himself. And they thought, well, that's not a very good verse. I don't want to do that. And they flipped it again and put their hand on another verse and that verse said, go and do thou likewise. So is that what they're supposed to do? Now those verses, what's the problem with studying like that? There's no context for those verses. There's no sense. You don't understand the sense in which that was said. So when they read distinctly, they read all the words, they gave the sense. That is, they presented the context of the verse. Here's what that verse means in the context of all the other verses around it. And in so doing, number three, they caused them to understand the reading. You see that word there? Cause them to understand. How do you study so you can understand? First, you have to read distinctly, not just skim over it, but read distinctly. Second, you need to understand the context. You need to look at that verse in relationship to all the other verses around it, especially those close around it, and then in the same chapter, and then in the same book, and then in the same dispensation, and you begin to understand the sense of that verse. And once you have read it distinctly, so you know what the words are, and you understand the sense, the context in which it's found, you will then understand the reading. Understand. You can understand God. You realize that? You know, most believers don't think that they can understand God. But you can. Most, you know, you see some terrible disaster happens, they interview some local preacher, and that local preacher will say, well, we just don't understand why God allows these things, and we just don't understand this, and we don't understand that. Well, yeah, we can. If you don't understand it, it's just because you haven't studied, because you don't understand. God wants you to understand. God doesn't want you to be blind. God doesn't want you to have to say, well, we just don't know. We just don't understand. They read in the book and the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense, and they caused them to understand. Man's problem is that he doesn't understand. Go to the book of Romans for a moment. This is amazing that, you know, believers are perfectly willing to go around saying, well, we just don't understand. That's the problem that man has, that he doesn't understand. It's the solution that God gives us that we can understand. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that What's that next word in your Bible there? Understandeth. What's the problem with fallen men? They don't understand. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talks not about unbelievers, not about fallen man, but about believers teaching false doctrine. And he says this in 1 Timothy 1, 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. What's their problem? They don't understand. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They don't understand. Fallen man doesn't understand. People teaching bad doctrine from the law don't understand. God wants you to understand. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Wonderful verse here in Proverbs chapter 4 about understanding and how that understanding comes. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Proverbs 4, verse number 1. Where does understanding, where are you going to get this understanding? What is it that you have to study to be able to understand? Proverbs 4, 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. There it is. How are you going to understand? For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. I give you good doctrine. What is it that allows you to understand good doctrine? Do you know that most local churches and most believers today specifically build their ministries and their lives on diminishing the importance of doctrine? We don't talk about doctrine much, you know. We don't talk about all that doctrine stuff. We just want to get together, have a good time, good fellowship, good music. That's why they don't understand. I give you good doctrine. That doctrine gives you understanding. Notice down in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Wisdom brings understanding. You see, God wants us to understand. Turn to the book of Ephesians. Well, let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Just go right to Colossians. Our time is drawing to a close. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to understand. Colossians 2:2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. I want you to understand that your hearts might be knit together under the full assurance of understanding. One of the foundations you need to build is that you seek to understand God. As I said, many, many believers they just don't think you can understand God. You know, His ways are not our ways are not His ways, I have not seen, all of that. But you know, all of those verses in their context are not telling you that God doesn't want you to understand. They're telling you that in the natural man you can't understand. That's why God has given us a book of doctrine to allow us to understand Him. He wants you to understand. He wants you to know Him. He doesn't want you to have to go through life saying, well, we just don't know why God did this or that. We just don't know why this thing happened. We just don't know why that thing happened. That is not a foundation to build on. You wouldn't want to build a business or build a building or build anything else if you didn't understand what in the world's going on. Why are you building the building? Why are you building the business? What's your product? What's your goal? You need to understand. You need study you can understand. And before you even get to what does it mean to rightly divide the word of truth, you need to settle in your mind, I've got a book that allows me to understand God. And I will no more be satisfied to be ignorant of what God is doing when my God wants me to understand Him. Study, you can understand. We'd like to help you understand more about this topic. And we'd like to do that by sending you the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month series of studies. If you just write to us at Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. If you contact us this week, we'd be glad to hear any questions or comments that you have about today's broadcast. Also, as I mentioned, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, we would be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. We simply want to help you better understand God's Word and give you that understanding. Until next week, when we conclude this series of studies, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.